bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Always want to remind you, you can listen live or win special truth giveaways by downloading the 101.7 The Truth app in the App Store or Google Play Store. Make sure you do it right now. Got some breaking news. Again, we talked about the John Bolton indictment. Ben's original, Rady Rice, is having a voluntary recall in the United States on a limited number of Ben's original long grain rice, whole grain rice, and long grain and wild ready rice products due to possible presence of small naturally occurring stones originating from the rice farm. Well, that's kind of scary. You think?
Number five.
From JS Online, so much for home field advantage in the National League Championship Series and American League Championship Series, right? Well, every game in the NLCS and ALCS has been won by the road team entering today's games. Milwaukee Brewers need that to continue. They won't have any chance to, you know, beat the LA Dodgers. Because if they lose tonight, it'll be done. Milwaukee's top-seeded team lost the first two games in the NLCS at home. They were overmatched by the Dodgers starting pitchers. Now, the cool thing is they get to go there, and we'll see. And if the Brewers win one, they can win three. Toronto Blue Jays, who lost the first two games of their ALCS to the Seattle Mariners earlier this week, showed off their power in Game 3. On a road route, when they pounded out 18 hits, 5 home runs, and a 13-4 victory at T-Mobile Park. Will they do it again? Will the Brewers do it again? My hope is yes, but we shall see. Also from Blavity.com, Dawn Staley isn't sure how tangible the idea is for a woman to become a head coach of an NBA franchise following her recent interview with the executive team of the New York Knicks. The University of South Carolina basketball coach, 2-time Naismith College Player of the Year, 6-time WNBA All-Star. She won 3 Olympic gold medals with Team USA, has been inducted to the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, led the USC women's basketball team to not one but 4 championship titles. That's just a few of the things she did. But during a recent Southeastern Conference press conference, Staley opened up about her experience as a candidate for the Knicks head coach position during the offseason. But I guess the question is, why would she accept it? Well, why wouldn't she? She said, I did the Knicks interview because I've known Leon Rose for 30 years, and because of that, I'm a person that I need a connection to people, right? So I have a connection to him and World Wide West, so I've known them all my life, and that it was a real interview, and I'd like to see what they're talking about. She did mention that she will help any woman interested in pursuing a head coach job in the NBA, emphasizing that she's not entirely opposed to taking a job in the NBA. So we'll see. But she said something that was very important. She said it's not enough for the NBA to simply want diversity. They got to get some people that could do the job. Now, me personally, I don't think women should be coaching in the NBA, and I don't think men should be coaching the WNBA. That's just me. I'm not a sexist at all. There are just some things culturally that happen that may not happen that can literally change the tenor of a team. Well, we can't do that, but that's the thing we always do, and it's always tradition, and now we can't do it because there's a woman here or because there's a guy here, and then you lose, and then something happens, and it changes the makeup. That's like somebody coming in your family that you've never had before. Yep, I'm going to show up one day. I'm in your family. You may not talk as freely or share as freely or feel. And by the time you do that and you lost so many games, well, you'll probably, you know, end up getting fired anyway.
Number four.
From CBS58.com, Governor Tony Evers sent a letter to the Trump administration still begging for the money for the projects that he wanted. And I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't know if it's ever going to actually happen, but he still wants the money. And again, and like I said earlier, if it didn't have anything to do with the climate, would he be asking for it? In my humble opinion, no.
Number three.
From Fox6Now.com, I got questions about this. I don't understand this. Help me out. A Milwaukee public school aide charged this spring with hurting students has been disciplined years earlier for similar behavior but remained employed until this year. That's according to records obtained by Fox 6 News. Jeffrey McClain, 63, was charged this past March with disorderly conduct after prosecutors say he threatened a student on March 6th. He also faced a charge for slapping a student months earlier at Metcalf School. But records reveal his history with the district stretched back years. In May of 2017, MPS disciplined McClain after surveillance video showed him grabbing a Washington Park student by the hair. The district wrote a letter to McClain. Multiple adults had to hold the girl to prevent her from being pulled over the railing by your actions. The district suspended him, and he returned to work 6 days later. Then they dug deeper. Records show in September of 2023, he faced additional discipline for threatening and intimidating a teacher. December 2024, filings say McClain again came under scrutiny after filing said he slapped a student on the playground at Metcalf School, injuring the child. Records show police were called the following day, and McClain was suspended for 5 days. McClain remained on the job until charges were filed in March of 2025. He later pled guilty to a lesser charge of disorderly conduct for the December incident, and he's scheduled to be sentenced at the end of the month. How did he get this far? How do you let a person who has a history of doing things to children and adults stay on the job? So then the question is, was this paraprofessional a member of the teachers union? Because if he was, I would ask then, was he represented and how did he keep his job? And that's the thing that disturbs me about this article that was written by Stephanie Quick. Did anybody ask, how did he keep his job? And why wasn't he charged by the DA's office? Why didn't he get out of the DA's office? I'm sorry, why didn't it get out of MPS and to the DA's office? That's the problem. That's one of the bad things about unions. And I'm just speaking of unions in general. How do you keep your job for years and you're repeatedly disciplined for doing the same thing to children? He should have been arrested the first time and should have been fired the first time. You don't get a second chance to hurt children. In this instance, he got, what, four? And then the only thing you do is disorderly conduct? You slap the kid. But the problem is, if the parents don't want to prosecute, you're between a rock and a hard place. That's the prosecutor. The school district should have been fired. Multiple incidents, multiple same thing. If it's like the fourth or fifth time that you've been accused of stealing something and every time it happens you're around, it's time for you to go. Even if you didn't do it, it's time for you to go because you're causing too much dissension. Your presence is causing dissension. And had you corrected it, he might not be looking at jail time.
Number two.
So MPS is doing something that I think is a great thing. It's just me, but I think it's a great thing. From Fox6Now.com, MPS school superintendent Brenda Caselius and the MTEA, the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association president Ingrid Walker Henry, announced today a campaign to encourage educators to come back and teach in the district. According to a news release from MPS, districts across the state and nation will continue to face a shortage of licensed teachers. Now, here's the weird part. We got less kids in school, but we're still short teachers. So how is that? Well, at this time, MPS is looking to fill 83 teacher vacancies out of 4,500 positions. Dr. Caselius said, "We know there are gifted teachers and educators looking for a way to get back into the classroom. This is an incredible opportunity to do that. I think one of the issues we have is getting teachers back into the classroom because you're stuck on you have to be certified and you have to have this, 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 this. I get that, but you make it so hard and you only care about public that you won't let anybody who has excellent teaching skills and excellent experience come in and do it unless they check the box, pay in the union, do all that stuff." And I know you don't have to pay the union, but I'm just saying. Retirees may refer to the Wisconsin Department of Employee Trust Fund Information Guide for Rehiring Annuitants, which outlines the number of hours they can work so their pension annuity is not affected. So if I could go back to work and get my pension, I'd probably do that. Now, you know what they'll have to do then? They'll have to extend the school day. Got it, y'all? They're going to have to extend the school day to make sure that there's enough time. Will people go for that? I don't know.
Number one.
This also from Fox 6. Now, a Brookfield police officer was injured on May 28th of 2024 while attempting to take custody of a Milwaukee man who officials say resisted arrest and physically assaulted the officer. That man, 34-year-old Bruce Hendon Jr., was initially charged with several felonies and misdemeanors. Well, on the 7th, a jury found Hendon guilty on all counts except count four. There was a total of 7 counts. They found him guilty on all except four, battery or threat to a judge, prosecutor, or law enforcement officer, of which he was found not guilty. A possession of THC charge was dismissed on a prosecutor's motion, and today he was sentenced to 12 years in prison and 6 years of extended supervision. So what does that mean? What does that mean? This is how I see it. He committed a crime. He was found guilty by a jury. And now he goes to prison for 12 years. And then he has six. What I see is there are 18 years that a person is not going to be able to vote. Is not going to be able to be a productive citizen in Wisconsin. And so when we talk about the incarceration rate, what we really need to be looking at is probation when you're a felon and you can't vote. And I have to double check to see if you're a felon and for a misdemeanor, can you vote? But in the end, that's what we miss. I understand if you go to prison, you can't vote. I get it. But when you're on probation or parole and you can't vote, that's saying something.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know, when it comes to your home, the smart play is trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows stopping the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. (833) 212-1017 is the number. The angel said, talk about race swapping. White Man's Burden, 1995, should be remade by Spike Lee or Jordan Peele, starring John Travolta, white, Harry Belafonte, black. They live in a fictional America where black people were the wealthy dominant race and white people are the poor minority. Interesting movie. I don't know if I would say black people are the poor minority and white people are the predominantly white. I mean, predominantly wealthy. Because the largest group in both of those groups are white. And I heard a woman on a podcast, I think I talked about it the other day, who kept saying the percentage of a group is more important than the actual number. And I said, I don't remember if I DM'd her, but I wanted to tell her, you sound ridiculous because what you're saying is that there are actually more white people on drugs than there are black people, but because we only make up 13% of the population, then our percentage is higher. I get that because we're a smaller group, so the percentage is higher. But when you take a step back and look at Americans, that's a little different. When you look at America, because then it's not us. We're not the largest number of people doing a lot of things in America. But because I can isolate it using percentages, you can always make black people look bad. Oh my God, look at this. 75% of those people do such and such. Well, it's only four people. So if three of them do it, it's 75%. But I got a group of 10. And if six people do it, it's only 66. I'm sorry, it's only 60%. It's also six people versus three. It's a terrible way to live, but that's what's been happening to black people throughout history. We've been painted in a way that makes us look bad. That always makes us look like we're at the bottom of everything when we're not. But nobody will speak up. Nobody will say, hey, as they say, the emperor has no clothes. I'm just saying. 833-212-1017 is the... What did I just do? I can't stand when I do that. All right. There we go. Right now, it's 60 degrees. Uh-oh. 60 degrees? It's 60 degrees? Yeah, last time it was 62 degrees, and now we're at 60. And then eventually, we're going to get down to the low of, what, 52? So it won't be too bad. It'll be okay. Possible light drizzle. Possible. Possible light drizzle. We might get a little bit of, just a little bit. And but I think we should be okay. That's just me. I think we will be okay. I'm trying to find my weather. Click. Right. Let's see. Well, it looks like the low is going to be 57. Right now it's 60 degrees at 25 minutes after the hour. I don't know. So would you, and I'm only asking this because I know exactly what I believe I would do, but deep fake crimes, right? Where somebody pretends like it's you or puts words together and makes it sound like you're doing something when in fact it's not you, makes a phone call, does all this other stuff, right? From WISN.com, artificial intelligence is right now at the center of a Milwaukee police investigation. Prosecutors have accused Kevin Scholes, who lives in Franklin, of using AI to alter a selfie of his ex-girlfriend in a nude photo and then send it to her. Investigators say the two briefly dated in 2022, and the altered photo was sent to the woman in May of this year. She recognized a photo of a selfie she took at a Bucks game in a bathroom, actually. And that photo was modified so she would be fully nude. When asked how the ex-girlfriend knew the photo was modified, the detective, Del Moral, explained, well, one, she took the photo herself of herself fully clothed, and there was actually a cleaning person in the background. Criminal complaint states that the phone number used to send the picture was linked to the defendant, and Scholes, who recently served on the governor's autism council, was promptly removed from the council following the charges. That's according to the governor's office. And Scholes also has a background in law enforcement, including a brief stint with the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office as a deputy 20 years ago. Scholes' attorney, Christopher Shirella, challenged the allegations yesterday, said, you have no idea as you sit here where the picture was altered, correct? And the detective answered, correct. That picture was sent from the number previously affiliated with Mr. Scholes to her. Is that true? That's correct. Defendant noted that the picture was not posted in any form on social media, to which the detective replied, I'm not aware. Attempts to reach Scholes at his home, of course, were unsuccessful as no one answered the door, but someone was seen closing nearby blinds. Scholes is currently out on a signature bond as the case progresses, and arraignment is scheduled for next month. One felony count of capturing an intimate representation without consent. So if you take a picture of somebody and they're in the picture, would you? Okay, I don't know how that would work. One misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct, and the attorney declined. So if technology is smarter than the law, which one is really in control? I mean, you know, 833-212-1017 is the number. Which one do you trust? You trust law enforcement? You trust the law? Because these things, like, I'm looking at it, but getting charged just means they have probable cause to think you did it. I don't mean you did it. Just because you're charged doesn't mean anything. You got to be convicted. And capturing an intimate representation without consent, when I changed it, then how is it her? Like, technically, it's not her just because her face was on it. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And you're going to have to figure out what AI that person used. you're going to have to figure out all that stuff. And I don't know. I honestly don't know if you would be able to do that. I don't understand how to do that. Like, what do you do? How do you prove it? And if every digital copy of everything that's digital is considered an original, I could have 50 pictures and I would have to have you remove every digital copy because every digital copy is an individual, right? It's not like I went to a copy machine, made a copy, and you can tell it's a copy. We're going to have to start ordering people to delete all digital copies, all copies of copies, because I guess you can't call it a digital. I guess you have to call it all original digital picture. This is how law has not caught up or kept up with what's going on in the world. Because right now, the law is not favorable to lock people up because of deepfakes. And if that's what you can do with a deepfake, imagine the trouble you can cause trying to trip somebody up and not getting caught. Like, you can just blame AI. Hey, AI did that. I didn't do that. Like, can you prove who put in the prompt and did it? Like, I don't know. And has anybody pushed that? Has anybody sued to say, hey, let's figure out how this is done? I don't know. I don't get it. 833-212-1017 is the number.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hey, dirty, what? Look at that girl right there. Oh, she make me say,
boom, boom. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I spend so much time trying to listen to the lyrics, I can barely say the phone number. So, if you don't want to know what the Brewers are doing, I'm going to count to five, and then I'm going to tell you the score. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. So, Dodgers 1, Brewers 0. Dodgers get to Aaron Ashby pretty darn quick. So they're up 1-0. And we'll see what happens. So, so I'll be gone about in another 22 minutes, and I'm gonna go watch the game. We'll kind of see what happens. And yeah, I hope they win. I do. I want them to win. I would love to, even just to say they came back, that no other team has come back. Well, they came back with a win, but I think they can come. I think they can do it all. I think they can win three. They just have to be able to win three. I'm just saying. From WISN.com, I hope you heard about this story. Confrontation at a Brewers game in Milwaukee here, where a woman threatened to call ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, on a Dodgers fan, went viral. It resulted in her resignation and her job loss. Ricardo Fasato, a Dodgers superfan and military veteran, recorded the incident during Game 2 at American Family Field. Fasato said the exchange began as friendly banter with Brewer fans, but escalated when the fan took it too far. You know what? Let's call ICE. Call ICE. Call ICE. I'm a U.S. citizen, war veteran, baby girl. That's what he replied with. Well, Fasato captured the Dodgers taking a 3-1 lead and began cheering, which prompted the woman wearing a Brewers shirt to make the ICE comment. Then she appeared to swing at the camera. Fasato admittedly called the woman an expletive off camera, after which security removed him from the stadium. The video has since been viewed by only 2 million people, on social media. Fasano said it just shows the level where a person's heart is and how she really feels as a human being. Channel 12 confirmed the woman, Shannon Kobylarczyk. Kobylarczyk. K-O-B-Y-L-A-R-C-Z-Y-K. An attorney at Milwaukee-based staffing firm Manpower. The company stated, as soon as we became aware of this video, the individual was placed on immediate leave and we began an investigation. As a result of the process, she's no longer an employee. Make-A-Wish Foundation also announced Shannon resigned from our board of directors this afternoon, effective immediately. Fasano said he did not intend for the video to go viral. Okay, time out. If you put anything on social media, it can go viral. Her heart is where it's at, you know. I can't do anything about it. Nothing that I say that would change her thoughts about me. Of course, she declined to comment. The Brewers said, the Brewers expect all persons attending games to be respectful to each other. We do not condone in any way offensive statements fans make to each other about race, gender, or national origin. Our priority is to ensure that all in attendance have a safe and enjoyable experience at the park. In this instance, the Milwaukee Police Department dealt with the individual who was ejected for actions apart from the events depicted in this video, including disorderly conduct and public intoxication. How ridiculous is it? How dumb? How stupid to arrest somebody for public intoxication in a place where you sell beer? Like, how dumb is that? I'm going to arrest you for public intoxication. Where are you at? I'm at a baseball game where they drink beer. That's like being at a baseball game and arresting somebody for overeating. Excuse me, you ate too many hot dogs. We have to stop you because it makes no sense. Separate video shows the other individual involved in the argument become physical in the course of her interactions with the person who was ejected. For these reasons, and in accordance with our guest code of conduct specific to ejections and physical confrontations, both fans are being notified that they are not allowed to return to the ballpark for future events. So you can't go to the concert when Beyonce comes? No, Beyonce's not coming to American Family Field, I'm just saying. So if your favorite group shows up, you can't go? That's unfortunate. So you were a lawyer and you got fired from your job for making a dumb comment. Wow. That's what liquor does. It uninhibits you. That's how people get in trouble. That's why some people were born. Because somebody was drinking. I tell you. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm just a prude. Maybe I'm just a fruit. I'm just a prude. I admit it. 833-212-1017 is number. Before I get to my next story, let me check the talking text line because y'all be tripping. Y'all be... What? Get out of here. Who said that? B-Brews? We need to block B-Brews. Block them. Truth Takes is too long. You don't like listening to us? Huh? Anyway. That's mean. You should be more supportive. Be more supportive. Oh, you remember the legislation that the governor's about to sign? Well, there's another bill that the use of devices that conceal, switch, or otherwise help drivers evade license plate detection will be illegal under a bill that's also going to him for signature. Under current law, drivers are required to display their vehicle's registration plate along with any decals issued for those plates. So, you know those little square things and those frames that you put on your car? You know those can be illegal. They just don't bother. Or if they say if they can see your stickers and they're readable, they kind of go, okay. But those are illegal. The ban, it bans the possession, sale, purchase, installation, and use of a device designed to conceal registration plates. These devices are installed on vehicles to switch between plates. You know, one of those things, the switch. Conceal or obstruct plates or alter their appearance so the registration number cannot be read. Now, they're talking about something very specific. But in addition to that, license plate covers, license plate frames, license plate holders. Technically, you're not supposed to have. And if you're not supposed to have them, you should get a ticket. Which means pretty much everybody in Wisconsin would get a ticket because somebody got some kind of something over their plate. And so it's just kind of like, you know what? No harm, no foul. Well, for this one, violators would face a $1,000 fine, 90 days in jail, or both. And they impound your car. So it sounds like some of these bills that are going to the governor right now are very, very specific as it relates to things that people are doing while they're driving. And I got to say, I agree. I mean, you know, you get hammered. I agree. Now, I've been talking about women the whole time, right? And I'm a guy. And I think women are women, right? And so I still think, and I get it, you can call me old, you can call me old-fashioned, you can call me all that. I wonderfully accept that, right? A Black Enterprise story caught my ear. Now, we were talking about the story about a woman being a basketball coach in the NBA. I don't think that should be. Dawn Staley interviewed with the Knicks. I don't think that should happen. I honestly do not think that should happen. Guys are guys and women are women, and let them be. Let them have their own space and their own time and their own way and their own power. If anything, you need to bump up the salaries of some of the women in the WNBA, and we need to support the WNBA, and then we're good, right? Well, Black Enterprise has a story. Layla Ali has spoken, and it's clear the ongoing feud between her and Clarissa Shields stands. Ali shared her thoughts on the proposed boxing match between Shields, who recently told tabloids that the former had declined her $15 million offer to enter the ring. Ali talked about the chatter surrounding the lofty offer, but wanted to keep her opponent's image off her page. The Neighborhood Talk shared clips of all the back and forth conversations surrounding the suggested fight. Now, there was recently a lot of talk about me possibly making a comeback to boxing. There was even a $15 million challenge and a whole lot of chatter, explained Ali, seemingly referencing Shields' public proposition. A whole lot has been said, except I didn't get in the conversation until now. Now, she's the daughter of Muhammad Ali, and she continued and said, well, I've made time in my schedule, just like I said I would, to address this. And you know what? I don't even want this person's image on my page. So I want you to go to this page because I'm going to be dropping my response very, very soon. However, instead of giving the fans a straight answer, she kind of poked fun at the situation, told her followers that she runs her show, that she'll let them know about her comeback on her time. So the question is she coming back on time? But my real question is, do you watch two women fight? Like two women put on boxing gloves and punch each other in the face? Is that okay? I don't know. Is that acting like a lady? I mean, it's a sport. I get it. It's a sport. Women can box just like men can box. I get it. But here's the question. Do you want to go somewhere where you see two women beat the crap out of each other? I didn't like boxing anyway. So to watch two men beat the crap out of each other, knowing that you can get multiple diseases and brain bleeds and all kind of stuff for the sake of two people beating each other, was kind of weird to me. These women are two of the greatest female boxers of all time. They both hold undefeated records, multiple titles. And if they fought, they could probably make more than $15 million. They could probably make 50. But in the end, what does Clarissa Shields want? She wants to fight the champ's daughter because she knows she can make some loot off of it. I get it. I'm still trying to get past two women fighting. I'm still trying to get past two women punching each other in the face and breaking noses and cracking orbitals and doing all kind of crazy stuff because it's crazy when men do it. So I'm not calling out women, but I think it's crazy when men do it too. It's weird. punching you in the face? I've been mad enough to do it, but nah.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Brewers update. Game is tied 1-1. There's one man on. There's two outs. And they just got it. They just doubled them up. And so, all right. So we'll see. They're going to the top of what? Going to the top of the third inning. Brewers and Dodgers are tied. So I want to say, everybody, make sure you watch the game. All right. You're listening to The Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tory Lowe Show's coming up. We'll be having a great time. And hopefully the Brewers can bring home a win. And we'll be able to live again in 2 days. So we'll see. Or else we'll be meeting the plane at Mitchell Field, cheering. Anybody ever meet the plane when it comes back? Interesting. Hey, want to say thank you. God bless. Take care. X, appreciate you. Talking text line. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you on the YouTube chat. I'm out.
Be quiet.